Exactly.
Okay, good morning. We're in the Be'er HaGolah, Be'er Revi, section 16, Tesai. The Medrash Bereishis Rabbah. For a change, his text that he's using this morning, that he's going to be discussing, it's not from the Gemara, it's not an Agada from the Gemara, but it's from the Medrash. And the Medrash says, back to Bereishis, it says, Vayhi era vayhi vayker, and it was evening and it was morning. So the Medrash says, it doesn't say Yihi Erev, it should be evening, it should be morning. Or, it was evening, it was morning. It says, Vayihi. It starts with a Vav. And it was evening, and it was morning. Amar Rabbi Avo. Right, a Vav usually implies, a Vav Achibur implies that something came before it. And what the Gemara, what Rabbi Avo is saying is that this implies that something came before the 6 days of creation. That Hashem was creating worlds and destroying them. Until he created these. Until he created what we find. Omar, he said, Dein Hanyanli. This is the one that I want. This one is good for me. Yasayin Le Hanyanli. The other ones I don't like so much. Omar, Pinchas Tamid Rabbi Avo, Vayar Elokim Es Kol Asher Asa Vinei Tayv Moed. Dein Hanyanli, Yasayin Le Hanyanli. He says, yeah, Rabbi Avo said that there were other creations that Hashem dismissed, but not from that Vav of Vayhi Erev, but from the fact that it says when he saw everything that he did, and behold, it was very good, it sounds like, finally. Right? You know, we got it right. You know, do it again until you get it right. And the first ones were not so good. Ad Kan. That's the Medrash. Medrash Hazer, Luktaas Me'ela Metachlas Harchakos. Someone else says this is for some people, this Medrash seems completely, you know, off the wall. She Bayre V'raya La'olam She'enei Tayv V'machra V'yisei V'yira Acher. And Hashem created one, where he says, not so good. Scratch that one, we'll go to, you know, to try another one. Af l'uman basar v'adam ein roi dover kazeh. And he says, you know, even for a human craftsman, we don't wish such things on ourselves. And it happens sometimes, sure. Right? But we daven shaleng, right? As shalengigal arik, you know, we shouldn't waste our time. We shouldn't try and fail and then have to do it again. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have to go through this. Kol shekein b'reva mashe lo yif lo yigea. Ve'ine ben adam yisnachem. Hashem doesn't get tired. Hashem doesn't change his mind. So how could it be? How could it be that Hashem created world, says, this one I don't like, and he went and he created another one. What does that mean? Right? Very, very, very basic question on why things should be this way. So the Maral, in interpreting these words of Chazal, uses one of the very important methodologies in interpretation of Divrei Chazal, which is not just, like let's say, Yechveis, you know, last week we talked about this idea of Hashem asking Yishmael Kohen Gadol for a bracha. Yishmael b'ni barcheni. He says, how could it be? How could it be? So we got an insight into what it means, what a bracha means, and what that interaction was, in order to be able to understand how it works. Over here, however, he's using a different method, which is that the words, the way they are expressed, the way they are said, can sometimes be taken to mean something literally, and we may not be getting the correct point. It may be more, again, idiomatic. It may be more or of a non-literal expression that is being said here, rather than the literal. And the way it reads literally, again, Hashem created worlds and he destroyed them, he created worlds and he destroyed them, and that means, you know, sort of back to the drawing board, which is not the kind of thing that you would expect by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, says the Maral, that's not at all to be said that that's what it means, that it was literally that he created the worlds and then he destroyed them and quote-unquote started again. To illustrate this, what he brings a parallel from one of the words of Chazal, from Divrei Chazal, that is a good parallel in terms of the usage of the term chorev or churban. The Gemara in Maseches Shabbos in Daf Pei Tes in Perek Rabbi Akiva, which is the perek which discusses most about events surrounding Matan Torah, and we've learned other selections from this perek in the Maral. The Gemara speaks about Har Sinai. And Har Sinai was a mountain that changed its name frequently, right? It was evidently constantly under new management. So the Gemara speaks about all of its different names, and it wants to know what the significance of the Chamisha Shemai Sheyeshle, of the five names that Har Sinai had. What were the meaning of these various names? And the Gemara says, well, Midbar Tzin, it was called the Desert of Tzin, because that Sadi implies Tzivuish and Itztavu Yisrael Alav. Midbar Kadesh, the Desert of Kadesh, because of Kedusha, the Jewish people were sanctified on it. Midbar Kedemais, Kedemais means the early, that the Torah, which is Kadmal Olam, was given, and so on and so forth. So then it says, Midbar Sinai, Sheyora Sinalakum Alav. And it was called Midbar Sinai because from there, Sina, hatred, descended to Akum, descended from there to the nations of the world. And the idea is because since they didn't accept the Torah, they were offered the Torah at Har Sinai, so that sort of closed them out. Chorev, which it's also called, Har Elokim Choreva, right, we read in Parsha Shmos, right, Har Chorev, Vayisume Chorev, many times we refer to as Chorev. Chorev, well, that's its name. Right? You know, all these other ones are nicknames because of a specific association. But Chorev is its name. That's the first pshat in the Gemara. But then it says that argues with Rabbi Avo, because Rabbi Avo said, no, its name was Sinai. You know why it was called Har Chorev? Sheyarda Churvalakum Olav. Because from there, destruction came down to the Akum. Destruction came down to the nations of the world. Now what does that mean? Churva, Churban. Right, machrivan, right? That's the expression of Chazal here. He created worlds and he destroyed them. Where do we have in this event of Har Sinai that destruction was brought down to the Ummah Sa'olah? And that destruction was visited upon the nations of the world. I mean, so Har Sinai happened. The Jewish people received the Torah. And did that result suddenly in everybody else dying? Or everybody else's, you know, buildings or cities being destroyed or decimated? Not at all. So what does it mean that from Har Sinai, churva, destruction came to the nations of the world? That's the problem. And this, the Maral is going to be using as a proof text, as a parallel to figuring out over here, what does it mean when Chazal say, Bore Olamos Machrivan, that he created worlds and destroyed them. ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהים מלכנו מלך כל העולם שהכל נהיה בדברו. So let's take a step back to a favorite set of Mishnayos in the beginning of the fifth perek of Pirkei Avos. Fifth perek of Pirkei Avos is a very ordered perek. It's the perek of numbers. It's called Perek Basara, right, with 10. Because it starts off with a series of Mishnayos about significant sets of 10. Vasara Ma'amores Nivra Ha'olam. The world was created with 10 statements. The world was created with 10 statements. Asara Dayres Mi'adam Adnayach. Then, from the creation of the world began to unfold, and there were 10 generations from Adam until Noach. And then, right, as time was going on, says the Mishnah, Hayu Machisin Uboim. This shows you how patient Hashem was, because all of those generations from Adam till Noach were just angering and angering Hashem, and it was a mounting anger and frustration. Ad Shevi Aleim Esmei Mabul, till he brought upon them the waters of the Mabul, and they were all washed away, except for Noach, who was saved. The world was destroyed. The world was destroyed. Chorev, right? Do you know the term Chorev? Is from the term cherev, right? The sword of destruction. The world was destroyed. Asara dayres minayach v'yad Avram. And there were 10 generations from Noach till Avram. Lo'idia kamayach apayim ufan. The exact same language shows you how patient Hashem was. Because all of those generations were increasingly angering Hashem. The generations were degenerating. Ad Shebo Avram Avinu Vekibol Schar Kulam. Till Avram Avinu came and received the reward of them all. Two sets of 10 generations. From Adam until Noah. And Noah, basically, the slate was wiped clean and the world started again. We refer to people alternatively as Bnei Adam, as children of man, that's what we call people, or Bnei Noach, children of Noach, because we're all Bnei Adam, and we're all Bnei Noach. Bnei Noach was a new start. And, you know, we discuss sometimes how we see that it was, I mean, the marble completely turned creation upside down, right, and then it had to be started up again, and even Noach himself goes through elements like Adam HaRishon goes through, right? Remember, he eats from certain fruits that aren't so good for him, like Adam HaRishon does. He ends up, his nakedness, his exposure is an issue, like it was in the case of Adam. There are many, many parallels between the stories, because basically, it's the world, second edition, right? In a certain sense, here, we have the most literal expression of what, you know, this medrash that we're trying to decipher, that Hashem created the world, and then destroyed it. You can turn down the heat a little bit if it's getting stuffy, which I think it is. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. So so there, in a sense, literally Hashem destroyed the world and started again. And Hashem, right, and the terms which I used are, you know, Hashem had second thoughts, Vayinachim Hashem ki asa sodom ha'aretz. Right? But Noach, so is now starting the world all over again. And 10 generations, again, is getting worse and worse and worse. Until Avram Avinu. Now, what happened by Avram Avinu? By Noach, right, there was a cataclysmic flood, an absolute destruction to the world. By Avram Avinu, what happened? There was no destruction, there was no event that seemed to destroy the world. Well, there was an event. And the event was the Tower of Babel, where all of the world got together under the leadership of Nimrod, Avram Avinu's antagonist, and, you know, built the Tower of Babel with whatever their intentions and their goals in doing so might have been. And when Hashem brought the dispersion on the people at the time of the Migdal Babel, so that, in a certain sense, it certainly destroyed the nature of that generation. But nowhere in that story does it even mention Avram Avinu. There are allusions to Avram Avinu, right? But it doesn't mention Avram Avinu in the story. The story is happening to some degree parallel, separate from Avram Avinu. And the destruction certainly isn't a destruction in the normal, literal sense of the word. But Avram Avinu came, the Kibel Schar Kula, and he received the reward of them all. What happened? How did Avram Avinu come and receive the, what is the literal translation of the Mishnah, until Avram Avinu came and received the reward of them all? So there are two interpretations of this Mishnah in the classic Mefarshim. One interpretation of the Mishnah is, actually, that V'kibel Schar Keneged Kulam, it's a different text, as well as a different interpretation. He received the reward corresponding to them all. What's the idea? The world, indeed, perhaps had this degenerated to a point where it deserved destruction, like in the times of Noach. However, Avram Avinu was the advocate that the world did not need to be destroyed, because Avram Avinu had this concept, which he had experienced himself firsthand, of tshuva, of being able to come from very negative context and to turn around and make himself better. And so Avram Avinu saw that as something that he could bring to the whole world. And Avram Avinu, therefore, just like in the case of Sodom, he argued for salvage instead of destruction, so too in the case of the world, in a sense, he argued for salvaging instead of destroying it. So therefore, Avram Avinu could be considered the Avraham HaGoyim, the father of the multitude of nations, because everything else exists only because of Avram. Because Avram Avinu was the one who himself saw the potential to be able to turn around the negative, and he brought that to everybody else. Rashi writes this in this perek in Pirkei Avos. That was the difference. By Avraham Avinu, it didn't have to be destroyed because of the possibility of tshuva that Avraham Avinu brought to the table, the ability to turn around the generation, so therefore destruction didn't have to happen. And therefore, of course, Avraham Avinu, we say, Avraham Avinu, everything that they are is only because of you. Right? They exist only because of you. They're salvaged only because of you. So Avraham Avinu therefore gets the reward of them all. Shaliva shalochem shalohem. Right? To paraphrase Rabbi Akiva, who said that about his wife regarding all of his students. So that's one way to read the Mishnah. And it's emes, and it's true. And there's another way to read the Mishnah, which is exactly the opposite, and it's also true. And that is that Avraham Avinu came and grabbed the reward of them all. What does that mean? Well, let's look for a second, think for a second about how the Torah progresses. Veracious. In the beginning, Hashem created the world. What's the subject of the Torah? The whole wide world. Adam and Chava. What's the subject of the Torah? The whole wide world. It wasn't that wide, but it was the whole wide world. Adam and Chava's descendants, the whole wide world. The Mabel, the whole wide world. The story of Noah coming out from the Teva, the 70 nations which come from him, the whole wide world. The Tower of Babel, the whole wide world. At the end of Parshas Noach, it starts telling us about Avram Avinu, and then in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, Hashem says to Avram, Lech Lecha, go from here, go to Eretz Canaan, and from there on, for the remaining 50 plus Parshios of the Torah, what does the Torah speak about? The Jewish people. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the Shvatim, the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, taken out of Mitzrayim. It's all about the Jewish people. Yes, along the way we encounter nations being discussed in the Torah, but that's because along the way the Jewish people encountered nations. Right? So therefore they did. Therefore we have it. And yes, in Parshas, in Sefer Bereishis, a couple of times, we have a couple of asides where we're told about family trees of other nations. Whose? Yishmael. Esav, right? It tells us, told us Yishmael. It tells us, told us Esav, right? They're also, to some degree, so there, it's their interaction. It's their being the byproduct, right? They're from Avram Avinu. So while, of course, Yishmael and Esav are ultimately not the chosen people, but they're a little bit closer than everybody else. And in fact, we must note as well that in that famous medrash about Hashem at Har Sinai going to all of the nations and offering them the Torah and them saying no, who are the two nations that figure most prominently? Who are the two nations that the Torah mentions or alludes to, which really gives birth to that medrash? Hashem mi Sinai bo v'zorach mi Seir lamo hofia mehar param. What does that mean? Right? So he came from Seir, it's from Esav. He came from Param, he came from Yishmael. Right? That's what Rashi brings, that's the part which Rashi brings in Chumash. That's what we find in many of the Midrashim. In other words, not necessarily did he even offer it to the whole world. Again, although that's the accepted Midrash which we also have. But on a primary level, he offered it to the other descendants of Avram. So what does that mean? It means that Avram Avinu cornered the market on Hashem's attention, at least in the primary sense. And now what happened was, the world, which was once all within Hashem's central concern and purview, now the world sort of shifted to the background, and the focus of Hashem's attentions became Avram Avinu and his descendants, or those who would attach themselves to Avram Avinu. That is a fundamental shift. And you can understand the language of the Mishnah in its simplest meaning. Until Avraham Avinu came and received the reward of them all. And what was once a universal enterprise now became a much more narrowed enterprise, where Avraham Avinu became the world. The world. We are the world. Okay, everyone, let's sing together. Okay, so that's the fundamental development there, which the Mishnah describes, right? Which goes on, right? Even in the Mishnayos, right? And then Avram Avinu and his Kenes Yenis and Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah, right? All of those things, or the Midbar, right? All of those things are again this notion of choosing the Jewish people from the rest.
So then, The few times in the Torah where Hashem tells Moshe, I'm going to destroy the B'nai Israel and make you the new nation, so then that would
again. It only can be possible as HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, as you see in Rashi there in the exchange about Ve'asa Yischa. You're also from the children of the way you say I have to worry about the bris to the forefathers. I'm fulfilling the bris to the forefathers through you. You're one of their descendants. So there'll be a lot which is peeled back, and then we'll continue. But we are continuing to build from the descendants of Abram. We're not going to any other place, to any other nation. So it remains narrow to the Jewish people. And it makes a big difference, and it consigns the nations of the world to some degree, to some level of churva, to some level of being very, very much on the outs. And that is part, very, very much, of the hisnagdus, of the opposition of the world to Avram Avinu. It's part of Nimrod, gathering together all of the world, where we say, they were against Hashem and they were against Avram. Right? Because Hashem and Avram now became tight. They became the pair. And Nimrod saw that and he was saying, my gosh, you're doing us under. Right? You're doing us in. And that was what he couldn't bear to see. And so, this is Avram Avinu coming, taking the reward of them all. The Ramchal teaches in the Derech Hashem that even though we find here at the time of the Dor HaFloga, at the time of the dispersion, that Avram Avinu was chosen from amongst all of the nations of the world, because Hashem looked down at all of them and he said, you know, there was the sin of the tree of knowledge, there was the sin of man, and man started to degenerate and they're losing their tachlis. So I want to give him a chance to see, are they coming back? Are they interested in restoring man to what he was supposed to see? And he looked down then and he saw only one person who was headed in that direction, and everybody else was headed speeding in the opposite direction, turning again away from the goal of Adam. So Hashem chose Avram Avinu. But the Ramchal writes that this choice was not carved in stone, was not solidified at that point in time, until Matan Torah. At the time of Matan Torah, the Ramchal takes this Chazal, which we've been alluding to, and he said, one second, I'm going to give one more chance. And he went around to all of the nations of the world, and he said, do you want the Torah? Do you want the Torah? And each one was given the offer to get the Torah. Getting the Torah, which of course Chazal always view as going back to the original, primal, pristine condition of man. The Jewish people stood at Har Sinai like man before he sinned. Everybody was given the opportunity. Go, head back to Sinai. Head back to Eden. And they said no. And then it became final. And Misham Yorda Churva La'ilam. That's why Har Chorev is called the time when the nations were destroyed. They weren't destroyed in the physical sense. But they were destroyed in the sense that they lost their billing as being the tachlis, the central purpose that exists within the world. Now it isn't so simple. I told you two pshatim in the Mishnah. You understand how those two pshatim are opposite each other? On the one hand, the first pshat says, oh, Avraham Avinu saved the world. The world exists only because Avraham Avinu was there and Avraham Avinu was committed to teaching them all the right way. And you know, by the way, Avraham Avinu was extremely successful. Extremely successful. Look around the world today. How many billion Christians are there? How many, there's I think a billion Muslims, I don't know how many, or more, how many billion Muslims are there? How many millions of Muslims are there? And look at them. Like the major religions of the world. And they all are at least predicated on the lessons of Avram. Right? They're not physical descendants of Avram. Right? They are Talmidim of Avram Avinu. Right? And it's not, you know, the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Melachim, in the uncensored versions of the Rambam, really, much of it was censored. We have it, it's printed again in the Frankel Rambam edition and others. The Rambam writes that the phenomenal success of these religions was because Hashem was priming the world, in a sense, for the coming of the Mashiach. And the way he says it is to accustom them to notions, which are going to be the fundamental notions of Mashiach. So, you know, so to speak, in a literal sense, the devil is in the details, right? So they all got it exactly. They don't have it exactly right. However, right, the basic outline, the basic framework is there. Avraham Avinu was very successful, and that's to some degree the salvation of the world. So here we are, we say, oh, well, Avraham Avinu was able to save the world. And on the other hand, we're saying, the other pshat in the Mishnah is that Avraham Avinu basically destroyed the world. And this is the fascinating and essential duality which we always have to consider in the relationship between Yisrael, the Umos HaOlam, between the Jews and the nations of the world. On the one hand, we are very, very much centered, egocentric. We understand that everything which is happening in the world is a focus towards bringing out the best for the Jewish people. But on the other hand, we have a role of teaching the world about the existence of Hashem. And every time we finish davening, we express this duality in the very strongest sense. What do we say at the end of every tefillah to Hashem? We have to give praise to Hashem, to the one who created Bereshis, that He didn't make us like all the rest of the nations of the world. He didn't make our portions like them. What do they bow to? But we're bowing down to the Melech Malchei HaMelechim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the King of all kings, to Hashem, the one who created the heavens, the earth, and so on and so forth. We are the only ones who are able to do that. Wow, we are so fortunate. We get it. And then we say, V'alkei nekavalucha Hashem Elokeinu, and we yearn for the day when everybody will be that way. When there will be no idol worship in the land. When the entire world will recognize Hashem. So, in a certain sense, we say, we're the only ones. And on the other sense, we say, and being the only ones, we have to bring everybody else around. And that's an ironic duality which is there. And which is very, very much part of our life and of our mission. And it's expressed in this Mishnah, in V'kibol Schar Kulam, and V'kibol Schar Keneged Kulam. And in any case, we understand, as the Gemara says, that even when it's all over and we succeed in convincing everybody, right? But Yisrael Mechitza L'chud, the people who linked up with the Jewish people still in the mission stage, right? We're in a league of our own, and makes us central and higher than everybody else. To the extent, and I believe we touched upon this Chazal in one of our lessons way back, where the Gemara makes the most radical of statements. And it says that an Oved Kechavim, a non-Jew, who dies in a building, is not going to be metame everything in the building. Well, that doesn't sound so radical, right? Halacha, you know, tumah, doesn't. The basis for it, however, is extremely radical. What's the basis? Because where are we taught about the notion of a tumah that extends to the building, right, where the corpse is in? Zos haTorah, Adam ki yamos bo'el. This is the Torah. If an Adam dies in a tent, says the Gemara, atem kruyim Adam. Based on a pasuk in the Navi Yecheskel, Bnei Adam Adam Atem, you are called Adam. The Evdei Kechavim are not called Adam. They're not called Adam? What does it mean they're not called Adam? They're not called people? Of course they're called people. But Adam, as the climax, as the purpose of creation, on the sixth day, after everything else was created, He created a being for whom the whole world was to exist. Now, that became the Jewish people. The whole world is going to be for Klal Yisrael. And that became our focus because of Avraham Avinu, because we have Avraham Avinu who was there, who was the one who was searching to fulfill the purpose of man. And therefore, he took that privilege and he inherited it to his children. And we darn well better live up to it, right? Otherwise we can't be so snobby about everything else. That's why Chazal tell us that when the Jewish people fail to live up to their mission, they're lower than the animals. Right? We, I should say, to make it to be more clear. We become lower than the animals. Right? We have it as a privilege, but we have it as a responsibility. So what do you have there? Right? So it's again, it's this sharp expression of how churva, destruction, came down to the nations of the world. Not physical destruction. But because of this new, later stage of development, they sort of faded. They faded into insignificance. Chazal say, the Pasuk says, Eile toldos hashamayim v'horetz b'hi baram. These are the happenings of the heavens and the earth, b'hi baram, when they were created. But it's interesting, if you take B'hi Baram and you rearrange the letters, what does it say? The Avraham. These are the offspring of the heavens and earth, B'hi Baram, the Avraham. Because it was all for Avraham. And we said it this morning, right? Those who were able to say the entire Pesukei Zimra. What do we say in the Pesukei Zimra? Ato Hashem Levadecha. Ato Asisas Hashemayim. Shmei Hashemayim Chol Tzvam. Oretz Chol Asher Layam Chol Ashbem. You made the heavens, everything that's there, the earth, everything that's there, the seas, everything that's there. V'ata Mechayas Kulam. Mitzvah Shemayim Chol Mishlachim. You bring life to everything. And the heavenly hosts, they bow to you. Ato Hu Hashem Alekim Asher Bachartu B'Avram. And you chose Avram. And you took him out of Ur Kasdim. You changed his name to Avraham. And you found Matzasas Levavainam Alafanach. What is that saying? From all the heavens, from all the earth, from everything which is there, you chose Avram. Avram became, as is said in the famous English word, Tachlitic. Right? He became the one who was the Tachlis of everything that existed. And that makes everything, quote unquote, destroyed. So says the Maharal. What does it mean when Chazal say that before Hashem created the world, as we know it, he created worlds and he destroyed them. And he created worlds and he destroyed them. And then finally he said, this one I like. What does it mean? So he says like this. I'm going to read you his language. Kimitchila bara nivroim. Originally he created nivroim, he created his creatures. Uvishah shenivru v'lohaya ba'ilam etziyu sacher. When they were created and nothing else existed, hayuaisim anivroim ikra abriya. They were king for a day. Right? As long as they existed and there was nothing that transcended them, nothing that went beyond them, they were what it was all about. The Shema Metzius Aleim, they would be the world. Ad Shebo Hashem Yisbarach Hazo Adam, till Hashem created man. Shu Ikar HaMetzius, that he was the focus of everything. V'yomar Dein Yehanyinli, and he said, ah, this is the one. The others lo Yehanyinli, the others are not really for me. Avazeh Nechrevu Shar HaNimtzoyim, and in that, the other beings, to some degree, were destroyed. Kasher Baruch Hashem Yisbarach Adam, when Hashem chose man. Shu Ikar HaMetzius. K'var Mishain Shem Metzius Nefal Leim. They pale in comparison. They don't really exist, so to speak, relative to man, because all the focus, all the attention is on this being, man, who is the Tachlis Habriya. And he says, and so it continued. Originally the world had all of the nations, and they were the world, until Hashem chose the Jewish people. Then them, to some degree, they lose their existence. And that's what it means. But Hashem is constantly refining the Bria, narrowing it down, and in that way making other elements of it pale and disappear in comparison.
This sounds as if it was before the world was created.
Okay. So we're gonna deal with it. We'll deal with that in Mirat Hashem a little bit shortly. But let's, meanwhile, focus here within the box of what the Maharal is saying. So you understand that he's taking, and then, you know, following this is where he brings this thing of this, and he speaks about Klal Yisrael, Har Sinai, Churva Yardal Eilam, Nevi'im, there were Nevi'im amongst all the nations till Nevu'ah was narrowed to the Jewish people by the Chet HaEgel, right, where V'niflino Ani V'Amcha, only you, and all the lands were suitable for Kedusha, right, until there was Eretz Yisrael, was chosen, and then everything else was, you know, Poyeshev Ki Visiyah was only going to be over here. So this was always the way it worked. And I would take you back even one further step, to Briyas HaOlam, and you'll tell me if we ever went over this, right, but it's part of this same process, which very much needs to be seen. Bereshis bara Elokim es hashamayim es haaretz. In the beginning, Hashem created the heaven and the earth. What's the earth? This is not a trick question. What does the earth mean in that pasuk?
The planet.
The planet. Okay, good. The planet. On the third day of creation, what does Hashem do? Hashem says, let the waters gather into one place, into the oceans, and the dry land will be seen. Right? And then what did Hashem do? Vayikra Elokim, and Hashem called the dry land Eretz. He called it Eretz. Earth. What happened? I thought Earth was created on the first day, and Earth would seem to be the planet, the globe. What happened? What Hashem just did was, he said, this is the Eretz, but now, where's the action? Is the action in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean? Right? It's not. The action is on the dry land, where people can live. So now, whereas this was the whole Eretz, now, this is the Eretz. I just want to give you a couple of examples of this. And it was evening, it was morning, one day. Right? What does it say in the pasuk before that? Not the pasuk before that, in the first half of the same pasuk, I'm sorry. Right? Hashem called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And it was evening, it was morning, one day. What are you talking about? It was evening, it was morning, one day and one night. The whole 24 hours is the day. But of the 24 hours of the daylight became the main part of the day. I mean, that's where people are going to be able to function before halogen. Right? So, you know, that's where the action is. So it's all this process, so to speak, of narrowing. Even with the Shamayim, right? So Shamayim, it's interesting, because Shamayim also, right? On the second day, Hashem called the firmament Shamayim. Right? Now, what was the Shamayim before then? Shamayim before then may have been, you know, the way up heavenly reaches. So this now became the main one. So from a global centric perspective, yeah, this became the Shamayim. But you see it consistently. You see this as a consistent pattern, and of course ultimately with what we mentioned before, with Adam. The whole world was Adam. And then there became a point of Atem Kriyam Adam. You become the Adam. And what that does is, that says that this thing before, like the Oretz, it's the whole globe, you know, it was all covered with water, it was all even. And then suddenly, right, the parts of the globe which remained covered by the oceans, right, now they got to, they were basically destroyed. They were destroyed exactly the same as they were before. But now they have been pushed very, very much into the background. They have shifted to second fiddle. I'm sorry.
And the question was going to be, why didn't Hashem just create the world the way it is? But I think it's the point what the Rav is saying, that to have this pattern of...
There is, right. There is this constant... Well, I mean, that's the Mishnah Basar Mamaris Nivra Ha'ilam. And there's this constant process of refinement. And refinement also, you know, it has... You know, there are to that many, many aspects and many levels.
It's kind of like on Yom Kippur, like Ela Ezkaro, where we start with the creation of the world, then makes it eventually to the Kohen.
That's right. Right. You know, it's right. We very, very good. Amitzkayach. Right? Amitzkayach over there where we start saying the Avod of Yom HaKippurim by talking about Hashem who can do like Mask V'Roisecha, right? And he created the heavens, he created the earth, and so on and so forth. And then, right? Adam. And then you call the Kohen to come in. That's very interesting. You could start any story there. You know what happened? Well, Hashem created the world, right? And then yesterday I went to this, and then my mother had me, and yesterday I went and I bought a car. You know, it's unbelievable, right? It's a good way to tell the story. But the idea is that Yom Kippur is tachlis, right? This is what it was all about. Kohen Gadol, it's not everything. Everybody rallies around him.
This is not so much refinement as it is more realization of the status of things, of the importance of things. And Hashem did, except for gathering the waters, the examples that the Rav is giving are not changes that happened. It's simply emphasis on certain areas.
But it's a change which is actually being affected. In other words, we're moving things around, and now the earth has been, right, these areas which have been cleared have now been chosen to the exclusion of those.
In that case,
Avram is being chosen to the exclusion of those. The day, the 24-hour period, part of it was given the sun, part of it was given the moon, and therefore the part with the moon got shunted to the background. Each time, I think there's that kind of a that kind of thing.
So Adam was created unrefined?
What do you mean Adam was created unrefined?
Well, if it's just part of this process of refinement, then when the moment he was created, he was not refined.
Well, there was a level of refinement over the behemah, right? He was infused with the neshama, mm-hmm. right? But again, it was still just the general Adam. There were some, you know, again, the term refinement used here is tricky. Mm-hmm. You know, he was the supreme, you know, of what a human being could be when he was originally created. But then, as Adam himself broke down a little bit, so then, within Adam, there were areas that were chosen and narrowed and refined. Okay. Now, another expression of it, which the Maral also alludes to. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, and I think again we may have touched upon this Gemara sometime long ago, but presumably if I'm having problem remembering, maybe somebody else also is having a problem remembering. But the Gemara says that there were 6,000 years, so to speak, right, this famous thing about 6,000 years of world. So one of the first 2,000 were tohu, were 2,000 years of emptiness. Tohu is the term which is used in that second pasuk in the Torah. In the beginning, Hashem created the heavens and the earth, and the world was tohu, was empty, and it was void, and it was water, right? Darkness, and what? The first 2,000 years was tohu. What are you talking about, right? But again, it's until Avraham Avinu came along and started teaching Torah. It was empty in a certain sense, right? Those 2,000 years, which to them, like that was the whole world. Everything that was happening was then. It was the most exciting place to be. But once the Torah was given, right, that became, it was nothing. That was a world without Torah. It became empty. Right? Chorev has that expression. And that's the idea. Constantly, b'ina olamai sumachrivan. And I'm sorry, I want to say one more thing, which again is just an aside, but just to get a sense of this, of what he's talking about, this b'ina olamai sumachrivan and the terrible tension which is there. Like we believe, by the way, of course, you know, sina la'akum, right? The root cause of anti-Semitism. What's the root cause of anti-Semitism?
Resentment.
Yeah, we push them to the side, right? Well, the root cause of anti-Semitism isn't our noses, our success in business, our money lending practices, whatever it is, or our manners. The root cause of anti-Semitism is we just became the center of the world and we pushed them to the side. And that is certainly enough to create resentment. And that, if you look at it, that's originally the Maisa with the Nachash, with the snake. Right? He who had all the animal kingdom and they were the top of the world. Certainly the creatures which were created on the first part of the sixth day, when they experienced their existence, they were the top of the world. And then what happened was Hashem took someone, a being, an animal, so to speak, like them, and blew into him a neshama, and made him so completely different than them that he became their master and on top of them. And that destroyed their place in the world. So what the snake, on behalf of all the animals, the shrewdest and best of all the animals at doing this, wanted to do was, he wanted to say, no, guys, we have a lot in common. And he wanted to make man back down to be just like them, like one of the beasts. He wanted, so to speak, to marry Chava. He was able to communicate with them, you know, with their commonality. Wait, we talk to an animal? How can you talk to an animal? But that's the whole thing. It was trying to bring man back down to the Madrega of beast, which he may have had before Hashem blew into him the Neshama, because man as man means that a behemoth is just a behemoth, instead of being at the top of the pile. And there's nothing more painful than being destroyed. Not being destroyed. If something is destroyed, nuked, so it hurts for a second, and then it's over. Sort of like a shot. Right? But if a person has to continue to exist as the second fiddle, living there in the background, that is torture. And that was the Churban. That was the Churban L'Olam. Now, the Maral now gets just because the problem, as you raised, is that in some of the language here in the Chazal, the Drasha, sounds like this was like before even the beginning of creation. Right? Now this all makes nice sense. As creation is going on, Hashem is constantly refining the Bria, which makes yesterday's center stage today's, you know, sideshow. Because let there be morning and evening. The Vav implies that there was something that had been there before. That's always a Vav Achibur, connecting to what was there before. He was building worlds and creating them. So he says here an enigmatic phrase. The Pasuk is not speaking from the beginning of the evening of the first day, but it's speaking from the evening, but not from its beginning. What does that mean? So the way it seems to say, and this is the way as well the commentary explains it, is that, you know, sure, in the beginning of the evening was the beginning of time. But as it became evening, as it went into the thick of the evening, it was beginning this process of the evolution, of the changes, which moved yesterday's, or an hour ago's, to the background, to what today is now in the foreground, had already begun. Why doesn't it start mitchilasa erev? He says the implication is, vayhi erev, is that it was already the midst of the evening. Why doesn't it start from the beginning of the evening? Because that's the creation, the first steps of creation, right? The chomer, the basic matter, and so on and so forth, that had nothing to it yet, and then as it got refined, so then it became, as if, so to speak, as what was there before. What was there before, the parts of it that were before that are not part of the refinement, were sort of charek. This is basically the way he learns. Now he brings other elements of this, and he gets into a thing. But he says as follows. He closes as follows. Amnam b'mokayim acher pirashnu. In a different place, we did explain. Many times, you know, we've had in Maral, he says two different pshatim in a chazal. So this first pshat is, as we said, where the focus on interpretation is to take the world chorev, destroyed, and not to understand it with a wrecking ball, but to understand it in more of a conceptual sense, that it was destroyed because its significance, its emphasis, was shifted very, very much to the background. However, now he's going to go with the second interpretation, which at this point, in using the first interpretation, he has set the stage for being able to make it understood. And the second one says, you know what? Forget trying to reinterpret the term machrivan as it means anything else. Maybe he created the worlds and he destroyed them. Kipshuto. But you have a problem. What's going on here? Hashem is sitting there. Oh, I created that one. Meh, don't like it. You know, back to the drawing board. Start again. And do it again. Until finally, you do it again until you get it right. Right? So that's the old Jewish joke about Isaac Stern's doing a concert at Carnegie Hall, and he finishes, and they yell encore, and he does another one, and they yell encore, and he does another one, and they yell encore, and he says, you know, he says, how much? So his teacher was in the gallery. He says, Isaac, you do it again until you get it right. The Imloya say this man in Kaidim, Leshayach Loimavayi Erev, Raki Erev. So he says like this. Okay, basically, the second interpretation, which allows for a little literal interpretation of worlds that existed and then were destroyed, is as follows. And I'm going to not read you, share with you every element of what the Maral says, as usual. But the idea is like this. It's very simple. This world is the ultimate of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create. Of course, we haven't yet realized the potential of that ultimate, but it's the ultimate world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create. And you know that the tahlich, the process of things, is that first you build the basic, and then you refine, and you refine, and you refine. 1 year, 1 megapixel. Next year, 2 megapixels, right? You understand? Everything, right? You start the baseline, and you keep refining, and you're making it better and better. So in a certain sense, that was the machrivan, you know, the philosophical machrivan that he said there too. But the idea, the way the Maharal says it, is saying is that a person, that a being, and we put this by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not because of an incapability of doing otherwise, not because Hashem had to keep, you know, you can only make it like this and then do it. But there is such a thing when you're dealing with a Seder of Bria, is that things happen in gradations. Right? This goes again, it's part of the question of the Mishnah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have said, let there be a world, right? Hey, Hashem, omnipotent, he could go to the end game. But there's a notion of doing things in stages. And says Rabbi Avoh, you have to realize that even the stages that we find in the world, that the world started out very vague, and then he created this, and so on, creating more and more and more better and refined creatures until he created man, that can exist as well with the enterprise as a whole. And it's not the idea that, Hashem, you know, he didn't know how to do it, and he had to sort of cut his teeth on this and start this way before he would be able to progress further. But the idea is that is the way things are done. In an olam which exists, so then we have this kind of a thing of a progression. It came earlier, but this Milo would also, in a certain sense, destroy that world. It's a little difficult, his language and exactly what he's doing, but in a sense, this is again where we are. The idea of Baina Olam Eisu Machrivan, whether again it's in a literal sense, and one will use it to give explanations. You know, sometimes people use this Chazal to explain phenomena which are found, which are billions of years old, or whatever it is. I don't think one needs this Chazal to do it. Whether it's in the literal sense or the non-literal sense, but we understand that the world that we are in, and within the world that we are in, is a world which is refined to a great point. Dein Hanyanli, this is a world which is refined to the point, and people go through stages, things go through stages till the final point of refinement. And when it's at the final point of refinement, everything from before, it's not just a stage, it's not just an ingredient, it sort of just fades into the background relative which to that which is there right now. That's Kibel Schar Kulam and Kibel Schar Kulam.
Something in this that's very basic, like for a basic lesson for people, you can't do everything in one shot. Like, Kaviyachol, even Hashem didn't do it all in one shot.
Maybe. But there's a progression, right? You can always do it better. You can always build it, you know, can always do it better. Yeah.